Monday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Happy holidays to you and yours. On the show today, obviously a lot on my mind. This is one of those Monday shows where I just have a lot I'm going to clean out of the files. Not just last night with the disaster with the Cardinals, but there's quite a bit of other stuff going on across the NFL, but also here in Arizona. We are Arizona-centric. Things that we see on the college, the pro, the high school front, doesn't matter to me. It's just things that we see, and there's a lot going on here in this holiday season in the great state of Arizona. You can always get through to me, brad@sports360az.com. That's my direct email, brad@sports360az.com. If you're just finding us, thanks for being on board. Did the TV thing for 10 years, did the radio thing for 15 years, combine the two together. Everything's going digital, digital, digital. And so from that standpoint, this is the way to be, and we've been at it for a couple of years now, wrapping up actually 2.5 years. And as we get ready for the start of 2015 and big, big plans ahead, it's been a terrific year. Thanks to many of you for being involved in it. Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. She'll be on board at the bottom of the hour. I was in California. I went out to Disneyland. You haven't done Disneyland in a while, guys. I went out on Friday, which tends to be a disastrous day because schools are getting out in California. But I wanted to take my family. We grew up in Southern California. We grew up outside of Carlsbad and Escondido. So we know full well that if any of you decide to go to Disneyland in the middle of summer, you're fools, okay? Sorry, you just are. There's no reason to pay $100 a person and stand in lines for 3 hours long to get nothing, to get like through three rides. So we usually go, I don't know, October's a good day to go, in a good month to go rather. Super Bowl Sunday's a terrific day to go. I wanted to see all the Christmas stuff up. I've got a 10-year-old. It's prime real estate. Took my daughter from college and my wife. The four of us powered over there. Had a great time. And during the day, it was interesting because we're in line there at Disneyland for, it was like a half hour here, 45 minutes there. You go get a fast pass. You go on Cars. Cars is a cool ride. Go do it. And you hear guys in line talking sports to pass the time. I'm at the Haunted Mansion. And I'm standing in line at the Haunted Mansion. And a guy is setting his lineup for his fantasy team while he's in line at the Haunted Mansion on his smartphone. And then somebody next to him is talking about Harbaugh playing in his final game, or coaching his final game maybe, against San Diego the next day. No, his final game will be next week against the Cardinals. So I got my fair share of sports when I was trying to unplug throughout the day. Eric even tracked me down for some inane reason. Thanks very much, by the way, I must say. You know, I try to get away from you from this, and it just doesn't happen. I'm in Pirates of the Caribbean being told that we need something for somebody over at the Fiesta Bowl.
Yep.
Please assist.
Yep.
I've got Johnny Depp on a cannon. I can't assist when I've got Johnny Depp on a cannon.
It could have been much worse. It could have been, hey, by the way, I need you to get to LAX in an hour and get back to Phoenix because fill in the blank happened with fill in the blank, and now we don't know what to do with fill in the blank here with the company.
Yeah, and I would have said fill in this blank, you know, and I don't mean Mel blank. I mean a lot of blanks.
Testy.
A little bit.
Clearly not the happiest person at the happiest place on earth.
I had my Mickey ears on. You know, I'm good. You know?
I just love the food at Disneyland.
The fact that, well, we'll get to the food in a second. So my wife and I, when we were in high school, we used to go to the Haunted Mansion just to make out and crawl all over each other.
Back in the 40s? Yeah, I remember those
listen to you. So, of course, I get on the Haunted Mansion with her. These are four kids and 26 years later. I said, let's recreate the old days. And she's like, what are you, nuts? Get off of me. Like, come on. Come on, lighten up a little bit. You know, have a little bit of fun here.
We don't ask you to share these stories. You just take it upon yourself to share them. So
you watch at your own peril.
I guess.
Because talking about last night's Cardinals game is actually low-hanging fruit. To say, oh my gosh, it was horrible, it was awful. Yeah, and the defense was the problem more than the quarterback. And I'll explain why in a second. Let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports. Brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino is just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. The Honda Resort and Casino. This is the week. Get the big holiday coming up this week. Next week, of course, New Year's. Why not head up to the Honda Resort and Casino? Stay there. Play the slots. Have some fun. Eat some great food. Get out of the hustle and bustle and decompress. In the high country, the White Mountains. Terrific area of our state. And the Honda Resort and Casino can accomplish that for you. It's just outside of Pine Top. If you've never been through the Sholo Pine Top area, you are missing out. Terrific place to be and to stay and have fun. That's the Honda Resort and Casino, Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top. Paula Bovin in about 20 minutes. Again, we partner with AZ Central Sports and sports360az.com. So let's go with the Cardinals. First of all, Richard Sherman started out my night by sitting down with Bob Costas. And NBC's very smart. Of course, they're going to go rehash Patrick Peterson versus Richard Sherman just in case they have a blowout of blowouts and have a dog game, which it ended up being. Of course, they're going to rehash Kurt Warner contemplating whether he did or didn't. It sure makes for a good storyline. Whether he did or didn't, let's at least bring it up in the broadcast. Yeah, you know what? I had heard that Jake Plummer had considered coming back and playing. Well, let's bring it up in the broadcast. I'd heard Jay Schrader had thought about coming back for the Cardinals. Well, let's bring it up in the broadcast. Why not? I don't know. I get it. It's entertainment. It doesn't have to be factually sound. But, oh, hey, if it gets clicks, man, we'll put anything out there. Kurt Warner considering coming back. Yeah, I'm sure that he came really close and called his agent. I'm just flat out sure of it. Or wow, it's trending. Joke. So I felt Jonathan Cooper not being out there last night was part of the problem. It wasn't what solved everything for the Cardinals offense. He only had 29 yards rushing for the game. I mean, come on. I don't care if it's Seattle. You're 29 yards rushing. You can't get more than that. Here's the thing. So when you have a practice squad quarterback turning around and handing off to a practice squad running back, and both of them were with the same practice squad in San Diego before coming here, meaning they weren't even regarded well here. I mean, they wanted to keep them. They always want to keep them. But facts are facts. They didn't keep them, and they went to another organization. You're going to be in trouble. The defense was the issue for me last night. I cannot explain to you, because I'm not going to say it was all Russell Wilson. That's almost 600 yards, a 600-yard burger thrown on this vaunted Cardinal defense. And anybody who's going to try and sugarcoat this, oh, the Cardinals weren't ready for prime time. No, that had nothing to do with it. They were simply outclassed on the football field last night. Much better organization. That's a Super Bowl-winning organization. I'm not bashing the Cardinals. It's a fact. They got crushed and destroyed by a Super Bowl-winning organization who's just now starting to, so let's stretch and round into form here because it's probably time for the games to matter. And people get all worked up in September and October, but we're just kind of.
Yeah, they're doing their best San Antonio Spurs impersonation. Just we're going to just go ahead and not coast, but we're going to pace ourselves. And then, like Eric, you said, when the calendar turns, it'll be time to ramp it up.
Eric, that's professional sports nowadays. You have players whose agents want them to protect their bodies. That's a fact. And so, yeah, they're getting guys back and they're rounding into form. 35-6 rounding into form. Here is Russell Wilson. Well, Russell Wilson last night was able to do a lot of things and not all with his feet last night.
Second down and 11. And going deep and getting free out in front of everybody is Luke Wilson, the tight end. And Luke Wilson will take it all the way to the end zone. On a second down and 10, it's 80 yards to the tight end, Wilson.
All right, and then there was this Marshawn Lynch play that everybody's been talking about today.
Here's Lynch. Oh, some high stepping and some shifty maneuvering. And Peterson tries to strip it. Stay in bounds, because he stayed in bounds, he's going to go all the way. Marshawn Lynch.
It's not quite the earthquake run, but it's close. They've got three defensive linemen right in the center. This is all Marshawn Lynch.
And then there was more Russell Wilson with his feet.
He's going to pack it away. Look at this.
Look at that.
Touchdown. How do you stop that?
I don't know. He's not the fastest. He's not the biggest. He doesn't have the best arm. He just creates magic. We have seen magic tonight out of the Seattle Seahawks in the biggest game of the year. Marshawn Lynch, Russell Wilson.
So I thought Collinsworth and Michaels last night. Eric, you watched the game too.
I did. Yep, I know where you're going with this because I agree. I think I know what you're going to say, and if it is what you, I think you're going to say, I agree with it 100%.
I just kind of felt that they were coasting last night, that they knew what was going to happen.
Oh, and I thought the slant was totally on the Cardinals. I thought they were big. They were big into the let's play up the Cardinals' big underdog storyline and see what happens. And a lot of people on social media were pretty upset with the way Michaels called the end of the game. Just not interested, not a lot of excitement.
He didn't.
Yeah, I mean, that Marshawn Lynch touchdown run, I mean, that sounds like just an ordinary run when you're hearing the audio. Yeah. But if you saw the run on TV, it wasn't even comparable to the call that Michaels just gave.
So here's the thing on this. NBC had two games this year. They had the preseason game against Cincinnati. And that was a tune-up game for the Super Bowl. Uh-huh. Lighting, crew, cameras.
Yep.
I mean, they didn't care.
Logistics, all that good stuff.
It was a preseason game, nor should they care. They don't care about those games. Last night, you know, as a broadcaster, I've never been in that space before, but I've been in spaces where you've sat down to do games or you go to games, and you know that you better have a whole lot of filler material because it's going to be a train wreck. And I just felt from the opening, other than they play up how great the fans are at the University of Phoenix Stadium, and they say University of Phoenix Stadium enough times to get the sponsorship happy with their check. I get all that, the business side of it, okay? It gets tiresome when people try to work that in from a plug standpoint, but nonetheless, it's there. They weren't into the game last night, and the Cardinals didn't give them a reason after about the first quarter. It just felt like both Michaels and Collinsworth were just doing a game. It was a Sunday regional broadcast. There was nothing real special about it. And everybody likes Bruce Arians, and they should. Who's not to like Bruce Arians? And from a quote and sitting down and hearing him, of course you're going to love him. But the facts are the defense gave up 600 yards, and they were abysmal in every way, shape, and form.
When you were at Disneyland wearing Mickey Mouse ears, Espo and Jared and I on Friday talked about if the game is in the mid to low teens, the Cardinals have a good chance of winning.
Sure.
If the game gets in the mid to high 20s, they don't have a chance. And last night, they didn't have a chance.
Well, and you take those three missed field goals by Hauschka out of the deal. They're in their 40s.
Yep.
They're in the 40s. And, you know, Patrick Peterson does get paid an awful lot of money, and he has not had a great year. So this Richard Sherman quote that everybody's playing up to Bob Costas, and as soon as Costas asked him, and you may have missed it, this was 30 minutes before kickoff last night.
I don't know if he should be mentioned with us. You give up 8 touchdowns in a year. I gave up that many touchdowns, I think I'd be benched on our team.
If I gave up that many touchdowns, I'd be benched.
This is me pointing my finger at you and not sugarcoating it in one way, shape, or form.
Yeah. It's, you know, so Richard Sherman does, when you sit down with someone like that, you know you're going to go back to your trump card, which is, hey, so by the way, you and Patrick Peterson, and Costas is doing his research. That's how it works. Ask him about Patrick Peterson, and you're going to get a really good response that we can use in our pregame show and probably recycle back through. Well, what do you know? Late in the game, Patrick Peterson has what could have been a game-changing momentum play right in his mitts. And I think Patrick Peterson getting this contract this year clearly hasn't had the year for whatever reason. And anybody who's going to try to defend him on that, you're just fooling yourselves. You're in the middle of the trees. You're not seeing reality. Much more on this and what do they do with Drew Stanton next week against the 49ers, the playoff picture around the NFL, and a real surprise in the NBA today, a player release I think the Suns may want to look at. That's next.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360AZ.
There's certain athletes that roll through Phoenix. Brad Sussmath with you, sports360az.com. Certain athletes that roll through that fans love to hate. I shouldn't even say Phoenix. It's everywhere you go. A certain team rolls through and you just hate them. When the Lakers come to town, Suns fans cannot stand Kobe Bryant. When the Cowboys used to roll into town when they were good and relevant, rather than just this one year that they're up right now, the last 10 years where they've been a train wreck and a disaster. The Cowboy, you know, Tony Romo, the Cardinal fans could not stand him. Richard Sherman is that guy now. Danny Ainge, back in the day when he was a Trailblazer or a Boston Celtic, the fans hated him. If you're a Barry Bonds guy back in the day, or I'd say Bonds was probably at the top of the list of guys, Puig now in Arizona. Puig is somebody fans hate. Eric, you know where I'm going with this? You got some other ones I'm missing?
No, you stole my thunder with Puig.
Yeah.
He's like the modern-day Barry Bonds. He's the new guy that everyone here doesn't like.
Yeah, I mean, if the Blackhawks roll into town, Taze is the guy. I mean, you get the drift that there's certain players, okay? I don't think the fans hate Russell Wilson. I don't know if you can hate Marshawn Lynch. More on him in a minute. But fans just hate Richard Sherman. I actually have always taken it as a compliment. When a player gets booed, that's an ultimate compliment.
Sports needs villains.
Sports needs villains. I've always felt
that. They do, no doubt.
But, you know, when somebody writes me a hate letter and I get hate letters, it happens. It's fine. Glad you took the time to write it. Go a little bit more in depth next time. You know, crush me on a little bit of this. At least you took the time and spelled the name correctly. Richard Sherman last night, this is Richard Sherman, one of the most complete wins you've ever had as a Seahawk. He was asked about this after last night's game.
Yes, I would say that. I'd say our offense, you know, might have outplayed us today. I mean, and that's no question. You know, one of the best runs you'll ever see by Marshawn Lynch, a phenomenal game by Russell Wilson, unbelievable big plays, you know, with his legs, with his arm. Luke Wilson's breakout game.
And that's a locker room having fun. Was it Pete Carroll said after the game, it was one of the funnest games he's ever been around. And so I say this because Richard Sherman, what he said about Patrick Peterson has to be taken, not with a grain of salt, in my opinion. You have to look at the full body of work this year. Fans don't want to hear this in Arizona. One of their own has been called out when they have 11 wins on the season. Has this been a good year for Patrick Peterson? Has it really been a good year for Patrick Peterson? Financially, it sure has been. Early in the season, Bruce Arians was calling Patrick Peterson out on Mondays with regularity. And then as the season progressed, well, he's playing much better. He's playing great. He's playing at this high level and all the accolades and all that stuff. Last night, you have to make that interception. You just have to. You cannot excuse it away.
And Arians didn't after the game because someone asked him about it, and he said that would have been a game-changing play
if
Patrick makes that. It's either a pick six or we're set up in the red zone.
So here's Patrick Peterson after last night's game saying that the team was not ready to play.
As a player, it seemed like everybody wasn't there. You know, there was a lot of miscommunication, a lot of busted coverages, you know. It just seemed like we wasn't ready to finish the ball game, and we didn't.
And I dropped a football that I should have had that changed the game, and we gave up almost 600 yards of offense. 600! You know how hard that is to give up 600 yards of offense?
They had 400, and there was still 9 minutes left in the third quarter. They had 400 yards, and it wasn't even halfway through the third
quarter. Could they have won the game without Marshawn Lynch? The way Turbin was running early?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or yeah, Christian Michael, their third pick. Their third back was better than the Cardinals' first, second, and third last night.
So, look, this is a day where everybody's going to rip on the Cardinals. It's fine. It's easy, too. Let me give you a little bit of history, because we in this day and age, we just are in the moment. Rather than saying, do you remember when the Cardinals went to the Super Bowl? And I'm not saying they're going to go to the Super Bowl other than they have to buy a ticket maybe this year. Probably going to be the case, right? But the year they went to the Super Bowl, were they just awful? I mean awful. Like they were awful last night in the month of December, the year they went to the Super Bowl. And the answer is yes. But they had Kurt Warner. Yeah, they had a whole lot of guys that were different. My point is, you can be just awful. But you've got to forget about it. And you have to go play San Francisco, and you cannot worry about playoff scenarios. You can't do that stuff. And I don't think this coaching staff would allow that. It's a bunch of veteran guys. You got your ass kicked last night. Happens. You're in the playoffs. You know, these nitwit Cowboy fans who finally get back into the playoffs for the first time in forever think that the last 15 years didn't exist. You just have to forget about it. So, you know, they lose the NFC West lead, the top spot. Now they need help. Now they need the Rams to beat Seattle. That's not happening. And you can't even worry if it would happen. You've got to just move on. You know, Ryan Lindley last night was way in over his head. It's not the kid's fault. Well, can't they just go out and sign somebody? No, you can't just go out and sign somebody. There were plays where I felt like Bruce Arians enabled Ryan Lindley to succeed. He took shots. Michael Floyd and Patrick Peterson, my gosh, catch a football. That is your job. Ryan Lindley would have a little bit more confidence. You nail that post route to Michael Floyd down the sideline. It's a different deal, perhaps. But they're just not very good. Michael Floyd is still a first-round pick who has not lived up to a regular star basis as a wide receiver. There's no other way to put it.
And I can see both sides of the coin when it comes to Ryan Lindley from last night. Yes, of course, his receivers could have helped him out and made some difficult catches.
Yes.
But he had some really bad throws, too.
Yes, he did. And he's a third stringer who's on a practice squad.
Exactly.
So that's what you're dealing with this time of year. You know, these people that want Kurt Warner to walk through door number one and Tim Tebow to walk through door number two and Byron Leftwich to walk through door number three, put down the cooking, Sherry. It's not happening.
Yeah, the people that are calling for Tim Tebow just clearly don't know football.
That's not reality.
I mean, that's just, no. Like, do you really think he would help?
So they've got to beat the 49ers, and the Rams have to beat the Seahawks. If the Cardinals just win, they could move up to the number four slot over the Lions or Packers. And if they do that, they get a shot against the NFC South champs. My thought is you have a much better shot against the Falcons, even though the Falcons rolled them earlier this year, or the Panthers.
Much better shot.
Okay, then having to roll in there and play someone else, play the Cowboys, I mean, that's just not what you want to have happen. There's an outside shot Dallas could have a first-round bye. There is. The Cowboys were clearly the most impressive team to me other than Seattle over the weekend. Green Bay did not impress me yesterday. Green Bay played Tampa Bay, and I thought they looked very average. They didn't look all that great. Detroit, are you kidding me? Detroit doesn't look like a juggernaut. If you go down the list of teams in the NFC, the Cardinals, in my opinion, are probably the fourth or fifth best team right now in the NFC. If you don't win your game against San Francisco, you're in a lot of trouble. And that brings up what to do with Drew Stanton. You know, I can certainly see Bruce Arians today at 12:15 stepping up to the podium and saying, we hope to have Drew back this week. We may have Drew back this week. We'll see if we'll have Drew back this week. You have to believe Drew Stanton is not sitting on the sideline saying, well, I'm just going to get ready and we'll start the playoffs. You can make that argument that, look, we could go to San Francisco and lose. We're going on the road anyways. Let's just make sure we have all of our bullets in the chamber for when we get to the playoffs. But I think your road to the playoffs is much better if you've got to go on the road and you have to go to Atlanta or to Carolina. I'd much rather go that route than have to risk Stanton beating the 49ers, losing him, and then going back to Lindley and Logan, going back to L&L, which equals an L, for the first round of the playoffs.
And it's no guarantee, even if Stanton does come back, that the Cardinals are going to have road success, because Stanton is a much, much better quarterback in Glendale than he is on the road, which is the case with most
quarterbacks. Well, they can't run the ball, Eric. I mean, he's going to have to run for his life. That's the thing. I mean, when you get 29 yards rushing, this is not Marion Grice baby with ASU. This is Marion Grice. I was on the practice squad in San Diego, and I just got released, and I'm over here, and this is all I can really do. Not ripping on them. That's just a fact. They got practice squad guys. When it's playoffs, you can't go out and make a play. You can't go out and just sign somebody.
We're talking about practice.
Oh, squad. No. Oh, my gosh.
We're talking about practice.
If it's me, I don't start Stanton this week. I don't start him this week. If he's going to go fight with Coach Arians, now I'm not the doctor there. He may be at 90, 95%, but I'm already in the playoffs. Drew, we're in the playoffs. Take another week off.
And you know the 49ers are checked out. I mean,
sure,
after what happened Saturday night.
This nonsense about,
Harbaugh's
they want to win,
last game,
they want to win
blah,
for
blah,
Harbaugh.
Blah,
shut
blah,
up. Yeah. That's just nonsense. What are you talking about? They don't want to get hurt. Their U-Hauls are packed. Their fishing plans are made. You know, so I think they're checked out. And you know what? If you can't beat a checked out 49ers team and rest your quarterback and try to get him healthy, I don't think you deserve to, you know, have any easy sort of road. You don't need to go play Drew Stanton this week. Paula Bovin is next. Jalen Strong just put a picture up that Chris Cartman retweeted and Eric has retweeted. Go over to Eric Sorensen on Twitter or myself. I'm over there too, Brad Sussmat. There's this black and white picture of Jalen Strong he just put out there. Does it say basically I'm out, I'm done? Those were days gone by. I'm going to talk to Paula about that and much more next.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussmat.
So I opened an email the other day. It was an evite to some big party that Paula Bovin is putting on. She joins us now for a couple of minutes. I said yes because my wife said we have to go.
Oh, thanks for that.
Sure. It's a vote of confidence. Is there anything that I should be bringing to this?
Just
event?
A good attitude, Brad.
I can't show up. I can't show up if it's just a good attitude, especially after watching that stuff last night.
Oh, I know.
So here's my thing. I'm not happy because the defense gave up 600 yards more than anything else. That's it.
Right.
I'm going to start there because anybody who wants to pound on Lindley and Grice and those guys, they're practice squad guys playing yesterday against the Super Bowl champs last time I checked.
Right.
So Patrick Peterson, Richard Sherman, what he said was true. I can't dispute. And I know Richard Sherman is hated here in Phoenix, but you drop a ball like that last night after Richard Sherman said what he said. Well, Patrick didn't know about that.
Right.
But come on. Come on, Paula.
Sherman, I mean, he walks the walk. He can say everything he wants because he's an elite player, and I do not know what has happened to Patrick Peterson. I mean, we've seen glimpses of the old Patrick Peterson, but it is not the same guy, and it's hurting that club right now. There's no question.
Money changes people.
Yeah, and it's not intentional. You notice with these guys, it's not intentional. I think he works hard. But I think there's just some sort of almost subliminal things that happen with these guys where something, when they're comfortable, when they feel set, you don't work as hard, maybe, and you don't realize it, but I think something, like you said, something changes, and I don't think it's a blatant, oh, I'm just going to kick back now. I just think something sort of enters their psyche, and maybe they're not either working as hard, preparing as hard, don't have that sort of hungry thing you always saw with Peterson of wanting to be the best and proving himself. It just doesn't feel like it's there anymore.
The eye of the tiger. So yeah. the Rocky Balboa thing. So,
yeah.
So a person like yourself can write that and he won't care, unfortunately.
Right. Well, no, I mean, the good thing is that I respect that about him. I think there's been a lot of negative written about him lately and he doesn't, you know, I mean, I don't know if he doesn't take it personally, but he handles it well. I mean, he doesn't have a thin skin. I think that's part of, you know, when you play football where he played football and the way the sport is in the Southeast and everything else. I just think that's how he is. But I actually respect the fact that he kind of handles the criticism pretty well.
But my point is the person who has to go to him
right.
is the person that he pulled out from his darkest, deepest hole, which is Tyrann Mathieu. Okay,
right.
So if these two are brotherhood, as they've said,
right.
and I believe that, then Tyrann Mathieu's got to be the guy that sits on the couch when it's in the offseason and look him in the eye and say, man, you just weren't very good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it sounds very simple, but somebody has to get through because this isn't like the Suns in this sense. Everybody's all excited about the Suns last year.
Right.
And they've just been a train wreck other than the last three games.
Right.
The Cardinals, you can be all excited about them this year, all you want, but the facts are they could very simply and easily coming into however this finishes out, okay? They've got a lot of moves to make that you could say, boy, one misstep here, one hand grenade there, they're going to be back to being a 6 or 7 win team. I don't see this being built as a long-term thing right now. That's not a shot at Steve Keim because he still has to get more players in the pipeline. Otherwise, they wouldn't be sitting here with practice squad guys at running back,
right?
You know, this late into the season. Am I making sense here?
It does, but I think at this point we have to talk about, you can sort of embrace this next man up mentality as much as you want. But it's caught up to them, don't you think? I think, one, the next man up mentality is a really hard thing. It doesn't translate well when you're talking about quarterback. Because
sure.
There's so much responsibility and so much an impact on the team. But if you go down the list of players, at some point that had to catch up. And I know every team is hurt by injuries. But this team has been devastated by him. And I think one of the problems right now is it's finally caught up with them.
But Patrick Peterson wasn't injured.
No, okay. I don't think it's the whole problem.
Michael Floyd not injured last night when he drops a ball that you've got to make that play early in the game.
That was bad. And he had some really nice catches, but he clearly he hurt them by dropping that ball.
Paula, for a first round pick, if you were to look at Michael Floyd top to bottom, has he given you first round pick results? And
no.
my response is no.
No, but he's I have also seen growth each year with him. I mean, the first year I thought, wow, this is a bust of a pick, and he's kind of picked it up. But he, you know, you're at that point now in your career where you can't make those drops. I agree, but I certainly don't give up on him. I mean, I've seen many exciting and great catches by him as well, and the fact that, you know, you're not going to have Larry Fitzgerald around much longer, he's got to be the guy.
Paula Bovin, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist for a couple of minutes. Sports 360 AZ. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Do you play Drew Stanton at San Francisco, or do you get him ready for the wild card game?
Well, I mean, you know, no. If he's ready, you play him. There's still hope. I mean, I know it's a slim hope, right? It's the Seahawks have to lose, which is very unlikely at their home. But we've seen how the NFL has taken shape. I don't think you can assume anything. So, no, if he's ready, absolutely go with Drew Stanton.
Disagree.
Really?
Come on.
Why,
get him ready for the playoffs.
What if by chance something happens, Russell Wilson gets hurt, Seahawks have a bad game? I mean, they're not playing an awful, awful team. Don't you think that you've got to take that into consideration?
No.
Why?
No, I'm in the playoffs. I want Drew Stanton. If I give Drew Stanton 2 weeks off, okay, I'm already going on the road. You're thinking that if they look up at the scoreboard and it's 10-3 Rams in the fourth quarter and Ryan Lindley's on the field, I'm discounting that. I cannot think or care what happens in Seattle. I have to think and care what's happening in my locker room and the things that I can control. And if I keep Drew Stanton out for another week, regardless, I'm just telling him, you're not playing this week. You're going to be the guy when we get to the playoffs. Because this game doesn't mean anything other than the chance that some other team does something for you.
Right.
I mean,
well, I disagree with you, Brad. I mean, the chance is enough for me to want to put the best quarterback on the field. And what your point is to give Stanton some more rest,
yes.
Even if he's feeling healthy?
He can say he's feeling healthy all he wants. All I know is a badly sprained knee. Those things don't recover in 2 weeks.
Well,
give him another week.
I would go with whatever the medical staff says. If they say he's ready, I put him in.
Of course,
hope they're going to get some help from the Rams. Probably not, but you know there is that possibility.
Have you seen the Jalen Strong picture today?
Yeah, I just heard about it.
Yeah, so Chris Cartman from ASU Devils put it up, and it's a black and white of Jalen Strong walking off the field.
All right.
And Eric, I didn't see a caption. Was there a caption? Did you see it, Paula? Eric, did you see a caption?
It just basically
was there something that said thank you, Devils.
Thank you, Sun Devil Nation. Is what it said.
Yeah, I mean that sounds like I'm leaving. This is in the past.
Yeah,
this is a photo album.
And I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I think I expected it. Didn't you expect it?
Yeah. I mean, if he didn't do it, I'd whack him over the head.
Right.
I'd walk up to him and say, "Are you nuts?"
Everyone at ASU understands it. I mean, I've talked to Graham countless times about it, and you know his goal is. It looks good for him when guys go to the NFL and he'll be drafted and he's helped develop Strong and they, you know, a guy out of a JC who developed into who he developed. I think it's a great story for ASU. Obviously they're going to miss him next year, but I'm not surprised at all. And I know that if I've talked to scouts about him, they're very excited about him.
Okay. Let me run this scenario by you. Is there a little bit more on Todd Graham this week to win the Sun Bowl? Because if you don't, it's 2 years in a row of finishing the season with a thud.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think just, you know, based on what happened last season, you know, based on the fact that they lost this this game to U of A. I mean, that's kind of what's in the memory of fans right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you win, and especially if you can win convincingly, you know, these are the games that are on TV that recruits see. This is another victory in the win total. Those things are very important to recruits. And right now, I think a priority for ASU is recruiting. And I think more than anything, that's what this game will help. So, for sure, because I think he'll take some heat if he doesn't.
Yeah, I think there's some fans that are just a little bit on edge. And look, ASU fans are always on edge.
And they are.
So they just need to be talked down off the ledge. I think he's fine. The program's fine. We just don't want to go through 2 years of that.
No, and you know, it's a tough dynamic coaching a bowl game because guys, I know, I've talked to players, you tend to check out after the regular season, especially with these bowls that really don't carry a lot of weight. And now that there's a playoff system, they feel more that way.
Right.
So, you know, I think it takes a special kind of coach to be able to really elevate the level of play of your team when you've sort of mentally gone to another place. So I'm very interested to see if they can turn it around from what happened last season, because that was a disaster.
Because, look, let's put ourselves in Jalen Strong's shoes. I can't get hurt.
Right.
I cannot get hurt here.
And
it doesn't matter where the ball is or anything along those lines. I may hear from Sun Devil Nation and all that stuff about, well, what are you talking about? No, he's 6 weeks from the combine.
Right.
You can't afford to go out over the middle and get your head taken off. You cannot afford to have a knee injury. You cannot afford a Marcus Lattimore type of situation.
Right.
And have your career all go by the way. So you just can't. It doesn't matter if he has an insurance policy either. So I've heard that deal.
Right.
So.
No, it's something that crosses the minds of all guys that are in bowl games that are going to go on to the NFL. How can you not? There's a lot of money at stake.
Okay, a couple other things before I let you go.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're not focused on basketball season, but we're going to start to get focused. So I'm going to bring you into focus right now. ASU's RPI today in basketball is 194.
Wow.
194. They lost at home to Lehigh.
That was brutal.
Okay. Who was 112. Tomorrow they have a game, Paula. You can make the argument on December 23rd that they have somewhat of a must-win tomorrow because they play almighty Detroit tomorrow, who has an RPI of 172. If you lose at home to Detroit, your RPI is going to go in the mid-200s, and you've got to be in the 50s, I would think, to feel comfortable about making a postseason bid.
I've been really, just as a basketball fan, surprised and disappointed in how they've played. I mean, they've had close games that they've lost. They've not risen to the occasion, and you know, and against good teams or bad teams. It's been, and there's no identity. I don't know who this team is. I don't see the go-to guy right now stepping up. And I know there's a lot of new faces. I knew that this preseason was going to be pre-conference season going to be tough for this group, but I don't think.
194.
I'm not encouraged by what they're doing at all.
194.
Yeah, that's
brutal. The number you need to know.
That's brutal. And, you know, the conversations about Herb, and I know there's that contract, are going to be starting up again because this is disappointing. And he's got a big, you know, he got a big-time recruit coming in next season. Is that enough to sort of maintain his job? I don't know.
I would say probably not if they continue with this. They go below 200, but... But, you know, the other side of the coin is, oh, it's early. No, when it's RPIs, it's not early.
Right.
So let's not sit here and try and sugarcoat and find a way around it. If they get things figured out on from a chemistry standpoint by the 1st of February, but the clock's on him. Right. The clock has to be on him at this point.
Of course. So. And you know, obviously it helps you a lot to get into the postseason if you finish strong and if you obviously have a good conference season. I mean, like you said, there's still opportunity. But it's got to start happening now because they're digging themselves in too deep of a hole.
Yeah. All right. Have a good holiday.
All right, Brad.
See you. There's Paula Bovin, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. Paula Bovin every week. And let me take a minute here to talk to you about Mareel Slater Insurance. So Tom Mareel and John Slater, when I talked with them, they asked me, how's things going with your business and we'd like to be involved? And insurance is a real personal thing for everybody. Okay, I get it. You're making your decisions about your personal insurance. You're making your decisions about your business in all aspects of life. And you need people that are tied in that can do that. I've got Lori Brodzinski's number here that I'm going to give to you. She's over at Mareel Slater. If you need a checkup on your insurance, and I think everybody should get one of those. I've used Mareel Slater. You could use Mareel Slater as well. Lori Brodzinski, 602-476-0057. 602-476-0057. Authorized broker with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona. They will give you options. This is a time of year where you shouldn't put it off. You're thinking it's right before Christmas, Brad. Don't beat me over the head. No. Mariel Slater Insurance. Call Lori. 602-476-0057. 602-476-0057. They've done great for us. They can do the same for you. That's Mariel Slater Insurance. On the other side, I've got to talk to Eric about this conversation on the other side. It's about Christmas present shopping for dogs. The playoffs, or pets rather, and playoff seedings for the Cardinals in their matchups around the corner too, and some Sun stuff as well. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Brad Sussmat with you. Tomorrow, Peter King, all things around the NFL with Monday Morning Quarterbacks, Peter King, Jake Plummer tomorrow as well. I'll get over the playoffs in a minute. A couple things happened. One in the NBA earlier today. So the Suns had a good road trip, finished 3-0 on the East. They didn't get Rondo. Rondo's here tomorrow. And I was disappointed the Suns didn't get Rondo. I thought with Ryan McDonough that there'd be a shot there to get him.
They need more guards. So,
well, you could trade away a couple of these guys.
That's true.
Straight away, I take Rondo on my team. It's good enough for Mark Cuban, good enough for me. Detroit released Josh Smith today. Just up and release him. So Detroit's been awful. Now Josh Smith is 6'9", 225, averaging 13-7 and 4 assists. I don't know. Is that somebody you would want on the inside who's sitting around out there? Do the Suns have enough of an edge about them? You need some chippiness when it gets into postseason. If you're going to build a roster, you better have the enforcers that are out there. The guys that just don't care, that are going to stand tall and chisel away on the guys on the opposing team down in the low block.
Zach Randolph comes to mind.
Yeah, exactly. Like Zach Randolph, that's a great call. Zach Randolph's having a terrific year, and you can make the argument that Memphis could beat San Antonio this year, the way that things have gone. So Josh Smith was released this morning. Detroit's going to use their stretch provision. So from the cap, the salary standpoint, you know, yeah, is he an upgrade over what they presently have down low? What they have down low is okay. I don't see it as a title contending team, which those of you who haven't got it from me enough, I want a team that can win a title. I don't want a bunch of nice guys that win 48 games and they always get eliminated and they're a sixth seed in the playoffs.
It's about a $5.4 million cap hit for the Pistons over the next 5 years to eat that contract.
Right. So if you're the Suns, do you at least kick the tires on that? It's evident to me that the West, the Mavericks' move of getting Rondo is clearly a, we don't have enough to compete with San Antonio and Memphis. And now maybe they do. You know, Memphis has been terrific. I'd take Marc Gasol. Marc Gasol is one of the top 10 players in the league, in my opinion. You put him down the low block, you know what you're going to get. Suns don't have anybody to compete with Marc Gasol. They just don't. So that's interesting to me. And Dallas is here tomorrow night. The Suns have one game at home, and then they're not home again until after the first of the year. And that's tomorrow night. And I did watch some of last night's game. It's had a nice win over Washington. Washington's been pretty good this year. The playoffs, so the way it sits right now, over in the NFC, or in the AFC rather, is the Patriots would have the number one seed. The Broncos would be number two. They'll clinch at least a bye and the number two seed with a win or a tie over the Bengals tonight. For the number one, they must win out and hope that the Patriots are upset in week 17. Over in the Chargers, I watched that game the other night from start to finish because I had Phillip Rivers on my fantasy team. Eric's a big Charger guy. My wife's a big Charger fan. I sleep with her. Okay, she wears her Charger jersey. It's a joke. They control the wild card by simply winning against Kansas City in their end.
I watched the end of that game at about 1:30 Sunday morning because we had a holiday party to attend. So I saw the first half of the game.
Oh, did we have our holiday party?
Yeah, we had our holiday party.
Oh, we did.
I
missed it.
Well, you're the CEO of the company, so we had it without you.
Ah, I see.
As all great companies do.
You're going to bill me, huh?
No, no, no. But I didn't see the end of the Charger game, and then I was like, I don't know if I'm going to watch this. I stayed off Twitter, and then I started watching. I was like, oh, this could be entertaining. And then sure enough, somehow Phillip Rivers basically playing, you know, as a member of the MASH unit, somehow willed them to victory.
He needs surgery.
He does. On several things, I'm sure.
Yeah. The AFC, it's pretty simple. So you have the Seahawks. The two seed is the Lions. And the Lions looked awful yesterday against the Bears. They've clinched at least a wild card. They never win at Lambeau Field, but that's the scenario. They've got to beat Green Bay, gives them a division title, first round bye. That's not going to happen. If they lose, it drops them down to the sixth seed.
Oh.
So there you go. Dallas is the third seed. They clinch the NFC East title. I have to tell you, if I'm Chip Kelly, is the bloom off the rose there in Philadelphia with Chip Kelly? All the talk and the high octane offense. Their secondary is abysmal.
Bad loss when you lose to the Redskins.
Abysmal.
Bad loss.
So they can earn the top seed by beating the Redskins and with the Seahawks and Cardinals losing. That's not going to happen. So they're going to be stuck there. The Cardinals are going to end up playing either Carolina or Atlanta. And they're going to go on the road either one of those places. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, that seems fair. I mean, they definitely should have to go on the road after winning 11 games to play a team that's going to have a losing record. That seems about right.
So the Falcons, if they beat the Panthers at home as South champs, if they beat the Falcons home, do I want Carolina or do I want Atlanta if I'm the Cardinals? I want Carolina, I think. I mean, the wide receivers for Atlanta, and Atlanta's already torched them once. I know it's hard to beat the same team twice in a season. So that's on my mind. Lastly, in this segment, I'll get to that in a minute. This segment brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Santan Ford, the last couple of weeks has been busy, busy, busy for me in the Sesmad household. We decided about 2-3 weeks ago, let's go to Disneyland. So we packed up the Explorer on Thursday after the show was over, headed on out, raced on into Disneyland on Friday, had a great time, went down to Carlsbad, played some golf at Madeiras. What a great course that is. Drove back to do a charity event, when was it? Yesterday. And, yeah, it was yesterday. And it's been quick. And got to the charity event, did it at the Salvation Army, had a great time. I'm on the run, as you can tell, from one meeting to the next this morning. It was at Channel 5 at 5:50 in the morning to talk about the Cardinals' disaster. And then here at work, and then this afternoon, more meetings as well. And I'm doing that in the Ford Fusion. We are a Ford household. We're a Santan Ford household. How about you? As you're heading out for the holidays, do you know where your next car or truck is going to come from? Have you started to think about it? Or maybe you're in that space right now where, yeah, Brad, you've been talking to me about it all year and haven't done anything. Stop on into Santan Ford just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. During November and December, the average shopper is expected to spend $30.43 on pet gifts. Pet gifts. Up 14%. So if I'm in the business of, hey, people are spending money on their dogs and their cats for the holidays, I better get this out there. So the big box retailers and specialty boutiques have rushed out gift sets, party outfits, spa treatments, all for pets. Pet stockings to hang on the chimney with care. Marshalls and TJ Maxx running holiday commercials, co-starring a lucky dog pulling a new bed out of a sparkly gift box.
Ooh.
Petco and PetSmart are stocking shelves with an expanded line of holiday items, like a squeaky reindeer. Hey, honey, let's spend $12 on a squeaky reindeer. What a great moment for our dog.
And then that toy will end up at the bottom of the toy bin with all the other squeaky
slobber,
toys.
Grossness, germaphobe. Nah. So I bring this up. There's not a chance I'm buying anything for the dog and cats that we have. It's not happening. I have 4 kids, 3 that are in or went through college. I give them food. I give them a roof over their head. I don't give them a squeaky toy for $12. Am I cheap? No. Am I cruel? Not a chance. Now, you are a rescue animal guy.
Correct. We have 3 of them.
You've rescued 3.
3 dogs.
How much are you spending on them for Christmas?
I myself have spent $11 on the 3 dogs.
You got a squeaky dog.
No, I got him a little gift, though. But so, I know my wife will probably spend more money than she needs to. And it's ridiculous. Like,
what is the point?
And who's going to open the gifts? Am I going to open the dog's gifts?
Oh, how cute.
Is that how that works?
Santa left a bone for Daisy here.
Yeah, well, we're big pet people, but...
That's fine. Yeah. That's fine. Isn't it a little or a lot over the top?
You know what a little
shopping
or a lot is?
Shopping list.
We were talking about this the other day, Brad.
Yeah.
So, okay, so we rescued these dogs.
Right.
And they probably combined, we probably paid maybe less than 200 for all
it's
three
fine.
Dogs.
Fine, whatever
okay?
you pay is
you
fine.
Realize
you
realize how much
them.
Money we have spent on the dogs?
Thousands.
Thousands of dollars.
Thousands.
Pet appointments, teeth cleaning, food, shots,
teeth
blah,
cleaning,
blah,
give them a milk
blah.
Bone. It's not that hard.
You haven't smelled my dog's breath.
I don't smell dog's breath. Don't care. Teeth cleaning for a dog? Are you hearing yourself? That's a man card deduction.
If you get the
brush
teeth
their
cleaned,
own teeth,
if you get the teeth cleaned now,
$1.99.
Nah, you got to let a professional do it. I don't want to clean the dog's teeth. I don't have time for that. Let someone else do it.
Dog teeth cleaning.
A professional.
That's what we're going to get them in the stocking. We're going to get them X-rays. Have your dogs had X-rays of their teeth?
No.
Please tell me no.
Nope. No, and they have not gotten teeth whitening, although we have discussed it.
No! Oh, my gosh.
I'm just kidding.
Brutal. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. Plenty of content on our website, sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, on a busy Monday.